Your time and expertise are valuable, making focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant, real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores, making the switch as easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Business Alchemist, where we believe in serving with spirit. If you are new, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you're with me for a while, thank you so much for coming back. I'm so excited for my guest today. He's been going viral. You probably have heard his voice all over Instagram, all over the internet. He is a podcast host, a speaker. Miguel, thank you so much for coming to the show.
Jackie, thank you for having me. It's an honor. I feel lucky to be here. But thanks so much.
So Miguel, I love to dive in. Tell me what made you want to start your podcast, your show, and really start diving into entrepreneurship while being a single father?
Well, I'll reel it back a bit to when I knew I wanted to get into this field. And it's a kind of an interesting, maybe different story than maybe most speakers or podcasters. But I knew I wanted to be a keynote, public, motivational speaker, whatever you want to call it, since I was 14 years old. When I was 13, I was diagnosed with a disease in my intestines. It's called ulcerative colitis. Some people know about it, some people don't, but it's pretty rare. Don't really know how you get it, but the worst part of it was just intense pain in your stomach. And it for me, it was a pretty severe case. Every 5 minutes of my life, I just had really severe pain, got really weak, came with anemia. So I was just like, as soon as I'd stand up, I'd just fall right back down. Blood coming out of my body like crazy. And there was no cure in the United States for it. So doctor basically just told me, you know, your dreams of playing football are over. There's no cure for this. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. Eventually you may need fake intestines and it could lead to colon cancer. And mm-hmm. So I'm learning all this at 13 years old and I'm like, dang, this is crazy. And so for a year, I'm just suffering with this thing and it's getting worse and trying all these different medications and nothing's helping, or at least it's a lot of things of the side effects is much worse than, you know, the help it's giving me. And so we didn't know what to do. And then my mom had a coworker who heard about these doctors in Mexico and they have a small clinic in the state of Jalisco in Mexico. And, you know, by the amazing grace of the universe, those doctors just so happened to be in my small hometown in Eastern Washington. And they were giving a conference to talk about what they did. And so we went to the conference. We were like, sure. I mean, what else are we going to do? So we committed to going. And it was while I was in Mexico. So they did a lot of natural treatments, right? Not necessarily like voodoo stuff, but like think of ways that people would cure themselves, you know, decades, centuries before medicine was ever created in a lab, right? And like they use, you know, cold water, hot water, steam, mud, all organic foods. Like they clean me from the inside out. Right. And halfway through, I was getting like a little mini 14-year-old depression. Right. I'm homesick. I'm physically sick. I'm mentally sick. And I kind of just want to go home and give up. But that's when my mom, she started reading this book called The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And, you know, she's spitting out these little nuggets to me as she's reading it. And I'm hearing this stuff I've never heard in my life. And it's the simplest things to us now, but it's things like the importance of setting goals, about actually like being able to achieve whatever you want in life, right? With hard work and discipline and all that stuff. And even talked about the power of making a vision board, right? And all these things I'm learning at 14 years old. And I'm like, wow, like that's kind of what gave me hope. Right. And on top of that, I started listening to motivational speakers on YouTube. And the first one, and still to my day, my favorite one is Les Brown. And I would just, you know, even just two words that he said that changed my life, which is it's possible. Right. Like sometimes we can't always say, oh, yeah, I can do that. Or, oh, yeah, you know, I can raise this amount of money in this amount of time. Sometimes we can't say that due to adversity and situations in our life. But what we can always say is that it's possible, and changed my life. And so from that, you know, I want to say I was cured mentally and even spiritually. Then I was cured physically, right? Something that had no cure. I was cured in 6 weeks, went back home, you know, played my football, played football in college, all that cool stuff. But I knew from that point on when I was in Mexico that this was my vision. This was the purpose for my life, was I wanted to be that voice to help other sick kids in a hospital bed being told that their dream is over, or people in juvie or jail that they're told or they think that their life is over, or people in even school systems that think that what their friends say is their reality and it's always going to be their reality. I want to be that voice to help these people. So I knew that I needed to go off and play my football and have my success, because you know, you in this industry, you gotta have the credibility to back it up. People don't want to hear things from people who haven't lived it or haven't endured these things and had the success themselves. And so, you know, I didn't put it on the back burner per se, but I lived it, right? And so went on to play my college football. I was that, you know, cool story of you're a superstar, you're going into senior year and you injure yourself and it's all over, all the college looks and recruiting is gone. And then I hear about community college sports and how you can play community college sports to as another way to earn a scholarship. It's like proving yourself. It's like getting, you know, a last chance to go to a four-year university on scholarship. And so that's the route I went. And towards the end of junior college is when I found out that an ex-girlfriend of mine was pregnant. And so, you know, and she is from here, Portland area. And so if I wanted to be a part of my son's life, I had to move here and pick up my life and come over here. And, you know, custody didn't go my way the first year of his life. And so for me, instead of crying about it and being bitter, I was like, you know what, I'm going to use this to go out and do what I said I was going to do. So I did one more year of community college football in Seattle. So about a 3-hour drive. And, you know, it was rough. You know, I'm here, I'm working a job. I'm taking college classes. I'm playing football, you know, providing for my son, which at the time it wasn't a whole lot. They don't need a whole lot in that first year. You know, she got government support with formula, all that stuff. So wasn't a whole lot, but also needed the money when my son was with me. So I got to see my son on weekends for 6 hours each day on the weekend. And so would always make that drive, go see him, come back to Seattle, all that stuff. And so, you know, I'm juggling all this because of exactly what I've learned ever since I was 14 years old in that hospital bed, is that when you have a vision for something, you're going to be able to do it. And I don't just say, like, when I say vision, so I'm a visionary. I talk about vision a lot. I don't just say, like, I don't mean you want something really bad, right? Or you have a strong desire for something. I mean, you see it more than you see reality, right? Eyesight versus mindsight. Eyesight, you see life, you judge life based off of what you see. Mindsight, meaning you judge life based off of what you want to see, right? The possibilities. And so I was always a mindsight guy. So I was going through a crappy time from the outside looking in, but from my point of view, I'm like, this is just the process to getting to where I'm going to get, you know? And a lot of people don't know this, Jackie, but that last season of football at that community college in Seattle, I lived out of my car.
Wow.
Because I could afford everything else. I just couldn't afford a place to live. But again, like I wasn't like bummed about it, right? I'm like, look, I have an opportunity. And I work at a gym that has towel service and showers. So I was a very luxurious homeless person. Lived out of my car, found a unique way to sleep comfortably. Like I was good. Don't get me wrong. Every now and then there was some rough nights, right? You're lonely in a car. You're just thinking, wow, my life has really turned out to this, right? But that's eyesight. So I had to get back to mindset and be like, look, this is just part of your story, right? This is part of your story that is going to, one, inspire and show a great example to your son about never giving up, no matter what cards you're dealt in life, but also to those sick kids in a hospital bed, right? To all those people that I'm never probably even going to meet one day. And I didn't want to look my son in the eye and say, I gave up on my dreams because of you, right? I want to say to him, regardless of what you're going through, you can do whatever you want to do in this life, right? So that kind of brings us forward, or brings us around to the story of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then also with my son, right? Because then, you know, I started my business with my son, podcast with my son, and all that good stuff.
I love that so much. You said something so important. So one of my favorite quotes ever is walk by faith, not by sight, which is, you know, that mind view that you spoke about. But I want to ask you, you know, I'm going to take it back a little bit, where you said when you were 13, 14, you know, you were going through this very difficult time. You started listening to, you know, Les Brown, all these things, read the books. Did you feel your energy was shifting, your, you know, your views, your visualizations were changing towards your condition? And do you feel that really played a big part in your healing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you probably caught what I said, which was I was mentally cured first. Right? Spiritually cured first. And oh man, like they saved my life. These people that I've never met, hopefully I get to meet Les Brown one day. But these people that I've never met changed my life, right? And changed the way I view things. And that was really the foundation of my faith right there. And you know, faith can be defined in many different ways, but essentially it's believing in something that may not be there. Right? Believing something that may physically not be there or whatever, but it completely gave me that foundation of faith to where it's like, it doesn't matter what the circumstances, right? It doesn't matter what the situation is. Like I wholeheartedly believe that this is what I'm chosen for. I have an episode on my podcast that's called Choose to Be Chosen. Right. And many people think that it's just the lucky few, you know, who go off and do what they want to do with their life, live their dreams, you know, being the 1% of life, but no, like it's those who believe that they're chosen for greatness, right? It's those who own the throne, right? Who say, nope, I'm king, I'm queen. It's those people. And so, but for me, why this was so amazing was because that's not the environment I came from. And that's why I'm so passionate about this, Jackie, is because many people just don't know. Right? They just don't know this way of life. They just don't know that they're limitless. They just don't know that the possibilities for them. They just are going based off of their environment, what their parents told them, what their friends told them, you know, what they told them they could or couldn't do. And so it's just like, and that was me. That's where I come from. Right. And so very limited beliefs that that were broken through, you know, books that I've read and speeches that I've listened to. And yeah, it definitely completely transformed me energy-wise, spiritual-wise, and since I was 14. And I've just been feeding that thing and feeding that thing, and I'm still doing it. I'll probably continue to try to grow in it until I'm 9 feet under.
You just mentioned you've had tough, very tough times, you know, living in the car. I'm sure that was like mentally exhausting, draining. And even now, I'm sure we as people were always facing adversity. So on the days that you have faced adversity, or even now when you face adversity, what are some things you do to help you get back to your vision?
You know, I always tell myself that this is just a part of the process. You know, this is a part of the process because, you know, I mentioned to you before off air that I don't watch much TV, but the TV that I do watch, it's of people and their success stories, right? The most recent one I watched was the movie about Elvis. Before that was the movie about Whitney Houston, of their climb to the top. And, you know, of course, Hollywood has to do their thing, but in these real stories, you'll notice adversity. You'll notice hardships. You'll notice such hard times where most people would turn around, right? Steve Harvey says, we always have that turn back moment where we're faced with something and we're tempted to turn back and retreat, right? And so for me, I just always tell myself, like, I need to go, I need this adversity. There has to be these hardships. If there's not, then I'm doing something wrong. Then I'm not trying hard enough. Then I'm not, you know, trying to open as many doors as I need to be opening. And it all falls in line with that path to success, or trying to be the best person that you want to be. There has to be, you know, those hard times. And so I always just reel myself back to, like, this is how it's supposed to be, but how am I going to respond to it? Right. Where am I going to go from here? And, but you know, so, I mean, full transparency, you're going to have those times where it's just like, am I built for this? Right. Like, am I really meant for this? Like, is this really my vision? Like, you know, am I really chosen for this? You're going to have those. Like, it's just accept it. Right. Like, when it comes to self-doubt, the best way to get through that is understanding that there's always going to be doubt, but that's where courage comes in. Right. Yes. You're always working on that belief and that confidence and that healthy self-image. But it's always going to be there like that. And we get better at kind of minimizing it and not focusing on it. But when hard times come, that doubt's going to creep in, but you got to go through it anyways. Right. And those hard times let you know that, okay, I just need to get through this. And an example I love to use, Jackie, is like an internship. Right. And, you know, I talk about movies that are very inspirational. The Pursuit of Happiness, right. With Will Smith. True story about a man named Chris Gardner, you know, paycheck to paycheck. They were having a really rough time. He invested into a company that just was not it, and it made them struggle. Wife left him and his son for money reasons. And he landed an internship, right? In this internship, there was 30 high quality candidates and only one got the job. But essentially, that's how life is. Life is a big internship, right? Your dream, your vision is a big internship. And maybe more than one will get that position, but have the mindset of one person gets it. Who's going to get it? And an internship, why do they have an internship? Because they're trying to weed out the people who don't really want it. They're trying to weed out the people with the poor work ethic. They're trying to weed out the people who rely based off of their feelings instead of their discipline and getting it done anyways. And so that's hard times right there. Hard times is life trying to see how bad you really want it, right? And by no means am I saying, like, ignore your mental health, ignore your problems. No, deal with it, right? Figure it out. Whatever it is, whatever that is for you, whether it's, you know, seeing professional help or family, whatever it is. But understand that hard times are necessary. They're trying to weed out the people who just say they want it, but don't really want it. And it's part of the process. Just hang in there. That's it. And you'll get that internship gig.
You know, you said something that I definitely want to dive into, because you talk about tough times and how just to deal with it. You also have a very viral audio that's trending all over Instagram about you're tired, keep going. Your girlfriend broke up with you, keep going, right? So in those moments, yes, you have this amazing mindset. Do you have some actionable steps? Do you journal? Do you meditate? Like, besides your mindset, do you work out? Like, when you're in those adversity moments or you feel down or, you know, maybe life just threw something at you, what do you do to get back or to keep you on track with your mindset? Like, actionable steps someone listening can actually do as well.
I really wish I could say I have this like routine that I go to every time, but it always falls back to vision. Like, it always falls back to the vision that you have for your life. And that could be tough advice for people who may not have found their vision or don't believe that their vision is meant for them, whatever the case may be. But the reason why I have the mindset that I have is because life has whooped my ass, Jackie. Life has molded me. We just touched on some of the things that I've been through. But once you develop that mindset of really, it's just the successful people, they're not the most talented. They're not the most gifted, right? Because people can have talent and gifts and all these natural abilities, but not fully utilize them, mm-hmm. right? It's the people that sometimes just hang in there, right? There's a quote I heard from Denzel Washington. He said, if you hang around the barbershop long enough, sooner or later, you're going to get a haircut, right? And so that just teaches like just that patience. And, you know, yes, do the necessary actions required, but a lot of the times we just gotta hang in there. I don't get in too much to like, you know, this is how life is for men, this is how life is for women. But what I've noticed in my life, right? And talking about the story when I was sick, outside of my immediate family, so talking like, you know, mom, dad, siblings, how many people reached out to me while I was in Mexico sick and dang near depressed? Zero. Zero people reached out to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that because like I'm bitter or I'm mad at anybody, but I say that because that's how life is. Like, you're going to go through hard times. And a lot of times in your darkest moments, you're going to see how life really is. Like, you're going to see how really, as much as we watch TV and see people rally around people who are going through hard times and pat them on the back, everything's going to be okay. It's not really like that. It's not always going to be like that. Now, if you've developed a great village, and that's amazing. But for me, nobody was ever there, right? And even as I grew up in life, like even going through the college process of being homeless, nobody believed in me. Nobody was there for me. And so, but I love that. I love that I went through that because it really taught me that all these hard times you're going through, you know, rent is still due. Right? Nobody is going to give you the job because of all the hard times you've been through. Right? So you have to develop that mindset of, it doesn't matter. Like I said, you're heartbroken. Great. Get to work. Right? You're going through these hard times. Great. And a lot of people are like, that's so unhealthy. That's so toxic. But it's just like, I get it. You know, we live in that day and age to where mental health has a great light shined on it. But maybe that light can be a bit too bright as far as crippling us mm-hmm. when it comes to becoming the best versions of ourselves. So I'm not anti mental health. I'm not, right? A lot of people may think that I am, but it's that balance of, yes, take care of yourself. And so, I mean, something that came to mind for me, Jackie, is reading. Reading is something for me that brings me, like, that's like my quality time with myself is reading. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I'm learning, I'm growing. There's so many just benefits to reading aside from what you're learning. And one of them is reducing stress, right? And so I love reading. I love spending time with my son, obviously. Like those are the peaceful moments in my life. Those, regardless of what's going on, what kind of chaos is going on in life. But ultimately, I'm a big passion of mine, a big reason why I'm here is because I'm not the person you go to if you just need a pat on the back and someone to comfort you with your victim mindset. That's not me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here to tell you that look, the train's still moving regardless of how you feel, right? And so if you're going to sit here in your tears and in your pity party, you're going to miss the train, right? However, I always like to let people know that, you know, I'm a father. I'm extremely loving to my child. I'm there for them. Son, if you need to cry, you cry. Like, do your thing. And so it's just that balance of, and I have little siblings. So it's that balance of like, I'm here for you no matter what, but also I'm not going to be like all the other people in your life that just let you know what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. Right. And so that's how I treat my podcast. That's how I treat my speeches, right? Because people have enough of the, you know, kumbaya, everything's going to be okay. Be lazy. And we're going to gratify it. Like, no, that's not what we're doing. I just want people to break the limitations in life, right? Mm-hmm. I want people to become the best versions of themselves and get the life that they can get, not the life that they deserve, right? Because we don't really deserve much, but for mm-hmm. them to get the life that they can earn.
You said this on one of your videos. You said, you know, if you're having a mental health day, the universe is not taking a day off just because you are. There's something called distraction, and then there's something called traction. So in those days where, let's say you're listening and you're going through a tough time and you're having that mental health day, you're actually distracting yourself from what's going on instead of taking an actionable step or reading a book or listening to a podcast and taking a step closer to changing your circumstance versus staying and taking the day off. A lot of people are like, I'm tired. You're tired of the life that you keep reliving. So do something different, you know? So I love that you said that, but you did bring up your son. And if you guys don't, you know, follow Miguel on Instagram, you will. I'm going to put it in the show notes. But when you ask your son, do you ask him like big questions? He always has such like an old soul answer. Can you tell me, how do you talk to your son? What do you teach him? And when he has a bad day, what's some advice that you have actually given your son to help him with his mindset?
Yeah, great question. So the first thing I like to mention is that the post that people see of my son and now like actual episodes on my podcast with him, it was never meant to happen. It was an accident. Like, we were in the studio one time and we just like, we're pretending to do a podcast. It wasn't so much pretending, like I was asking him questions that he didn't know about, didn't look at beforehand. Like, but as in pretend, we actually treated it like a podcast, like, oh, my guest, Marcus Mendoza. And he's like, thanks for having me. Like it's, you know, we're just messing around. And for me, my intention was to get like a cute clip and post it. This is my son. This is my passion. This is my love right here. And because I've done it before. A lot of people don't know this, Jackie. Months and months and months ago, throughout the different offices I've had for my podcast, you've seen like smaller versions of my son as he was younger and younger with little clips. Like one time I asked him, I forgot what I asked him, but it was something about Santa Claus. Like, no, he asked me who I think the richest person in the world is. And I said, Santa Claus. Cause like, how can you afford all that, you know, all those toys? And so we're just being goofy. This time, however, it goes viral. It's actually my most viral video. I think it's at like 13 million views, which is crazy. And it's just talking about our relationship, our love for one another. And on TikTok is where a lot of people were commenting to post the full episode, right? And in my mind, I'm like, you know what? We treated it like a real episode. Like I can actually post this thing. And so, but first you have you think back to like, you know, should I, blah, 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 blah. And the reason why I did, and the reason why I still post up a clip maybe once a week or every other week of my son is because I want people, because I talk about parenting a lot. I have a Win in Parenting series within my podcast. I want people to actually see who I'm raising. Like I want people to see the product of all this that I do, right? Of all the talking that I do. I want people to see the actual visual representation. And I'm not saying like that I'm adding pressure on him. Like he wants to do it. Like, you know, he loves it. It's going to work with dad, right? And so to answer your question about, you know, why he answers these questions the way that he does, it's solely because of all the dedication I've put into him since he was born. And you asked, how do I speak to him? I speak to him I don't speak to them like a child. I speak to them like a person, right? And I have patience. There hasn't been one time, Jack. And so it's for those parents out there, they'll think this is a bit nuts, but there hasn't been a single time where I've shut down one of his questions and said, ask me later. I'm tired. Zip it. Shut up. I've never once said that. I've always answered every single one of his questions, even when he 2-3 years old and couldn't even fully understand his question, right? Because I always have wanted him to be on a different level logically. Like I want him to think critically on his own. Like, yeah, he's going to have my influence. I'm his dad. But, you know, either you're raising your children or someone else's, whether it be television, tablets, electronics, friends, right? Other people that they're around. And so I've always just committed to like, hey, you know, and a lot of it was a reflection from my childhood, which was completely different. And so I wanted things to be different. And so I just reflected on what went wrong, but also what went right, like what were some good things. And so, I just always committed to, you know, full explanations, speaking to him, full sentences. Like we did the baby talk for a little while, but then it's over now. Like now, you know, I'm still going to talk to you like you're my child, but you know, I'm going to give you full explanations. I'm going to break all this down. I never even said no to him for the first, I want to say maybe 2 to 3 years of his life. I never said no. That doesn't mean I said yes to everything, but what I did was I fully explained why this maybe is not the best idea. To an example, stick a fork in an outlet. I was like, Marcus, that could be an owie and that could hurt you really bad. That's not a good idea, right? And he doesn't understand what I'm saying, but maybe he'll get my demeanor. Mm. And if he doesn't listen, then I will pick him up and remove him from the situation. If he comes back to it, I'll do it again and I'll do it again and I'll do it again. Eventually, one way or the other, he's going to understand that this is not the right thing to do. I feel like no, yelling and spanking are shortcuts. It's instilling it, now they work, right? They work at least until they become an adult and they have nobody to fear anymore, but it works because of fear, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just like, I always thought like, man, you know, I was raised off of fear. You know, I was yelled at not to do X thing, but yet I would go and do it at school. I would go cuss at school. I would eventually drink and smoke, right? Like I would do all these things I was told and spanked and yelled at not to do. So I'm like, clearly it didn't work. And so my thing was always like, I don't want to change the action. I want to change the character, right? I don't want him to be scared not to do things. I want him not to want to do things, right? And so in order for that to happen, they have to understand. Like you have to be patient and teach them understanding. And so to this day, like, I mean, he's a very logical kid because I've been very logical with him. I give him full explanations, full reasonings for things. And so when he comes to me, even now at 6 years old with questions, I give him the full shebang, full answers. And, but I do teach him that, you know, not everybody's going to be this way with you. Like a coach, cause he started baseball, T-ball, and at school, like, everybody's not going to give you an answer so many times. So when somebody tells you something once, we got to figure it out, right? So I'm kind of transitioning into different developmental stages as he gets older. But yeah, so when people see his stuff on social media, like that is authentically him. Like that is 100% him. And he's very similar to me in so many ways. Like he is my little twin, but with his own spin on it. Like he's more intelligent than I am in so many different ways. And he's going to surpass me in every area of life. Like he just is. And that should be our goal as parents. But also like, I like what you told me before, which was really just allowing your children to kind of understand their gifts and their identity and roll with it and to protect it. Right. And so, it was a lot of patience, a lot of perseverance, but ultimately it's being the example, right? Like if I don't want my kid to be angry and yell and, you know, if he loses in something, like he has a fit of rage or something, mm-hmm. I knew I had to be the example, right? So there is no yelling there. Now, don't get me wrong. Dad has a firm voice when he needs to have a firm voice, but if he drops the dinner plate that I work very hard to make, the reaction is not, oh, what the heck, man? Da, da, da. It's no worries. I'll fix you another plate. Like no big deal, because I want him to understand that we're in control of our response to any situation in life. A lot of adults don't know that we are in control. We can't. I have an equation I live by: E plus R equals O. The event plus the response equals the outcome. A lot of people think that it's just the event that dictates the outcome, right? You're driving to work and you spill coffee on yourself. That means it has to be a crappy day. No, it does not. Your response can change everything in every situation. If you respond the right way, consistently and thoroughly, then you will eventually control that outcome. It's going to be up to you, whether it's going to be a great day, or, you know, whether you are going to live out your dreams, or, you know, whether you are going to be this type of parent or raise this type of child. It's really all on that response. And so that's something that we as parents need to be the example of. And that's what he's seen in me.
You know, you've used response twice in this interview, and I love that, because you didn't use reaction. You used response, because there's a big difference between responding to something and reacting to something. But does your son know that, like, he's going viral? Does he understand? And if so, how does he kind of deal with that? What does he say about it?
He knows. He knows as much as his brain will allow him to know, right? Because he doesn't know how big of a world it is. But he's not a diva. He's very nonchalant. Like, I'm like, Marcus, look at this. And he's like, oh, cool. Or somebody will go up to him. Like, cause of a lot of the staff members at his school, you know, has just found me on social media, and they'll see Marcus and they'll go to him like, Marcus, it's so amazing what you're doing. Like, I love it so much. And he's like, thanks. You know, like I think it's because, you know, your children see where you put value in things, right? Like, your children will see what matters to you. And so for me, when I'm with him, it's our time. I'm not working. I'm not on the phone. Sometimes I may need to take a call. It's whatever. It's life. But I'm not like, Marcus, look at this viral video. Look at these numbers. Like, we have goals, right? Like, I made my vision board with him. Wow. And yeah. And he loves to check off accomplishments. Like, okay, we surpassed this amount of downloads per month. Right. And he even like wants to set new goals. Right. So he understands that, but like, we love life, right? Like we enjoy life. Like I'm the same way as you when it comes to electronics with children. There's a very rare time and a place, but for the most part, man, we're going to go out and, and we're going to go hit a trail. We're going to go to the parks. We're going to talk, we're going to interact. You know, I want to, you know, help develop you. I don't want, you know, these other things in life to develop you. And so I feel like he understands, as much as he's, you know, his brain will allow him to right now, he understands what matters in life and how we really have to just appreciate every moment and love every day. I mean, I learned so much from him. I learned so much from children in general, because, you know, we could be so scared of the future, of what lies ahead. But if you think about children, they don't care. Like, they're in the moment. Like, they're focused on the day. They just want to go to the park. They want to have fun. Whatever you said you're going to do today, they're excited for that. And children should, if they understood everything, they should be the most worried, right? They should be the most worried, because look at the society that we're in nowadays, and look at the statistics, especially, I mean, me and you can relate to this, especially children that live in split households. The stats for them are scarier than living in a household with both parents. And so they should be worried, but they're not, right? They love life. They're happy about it. They're fired up for the day, for that day. And so, this kid, he doesn't really care too much. about, like, he doesn't bring it up. He doesn't talk about it. He doesn't say, "Dad, let me see the phone. Let me see where the never, not one time." Right. And, but I do let him know that, he's helping people, that, cause he knows what I do. And, but I let him know that, Marcus, because of this video that we put out, more parents are playing with their kids now, you know? And, so it's, you know, it's, it can get a bit tricky when you go into the viral world when it comes to family and children, but, you know, I feel like it's going well. And, you know, the day he wants to stop hopping on the podcast, I could care less. You know, we're done with it. But I mean, for now, he'll hop on maybe once a month now or something like that. But it's cool. I like it. It's fun. We're having fun with it.
Yeah. So what would you say, you know, to maybe a parent who's listening right now, and maybe they're the parent that is busy and really wants to, you know, have a better relationship with their child. But let's say, you know, and I know people like this, you know, their child's already so addicted to a device or something. How does that parent change the relationship now when maybe the child's of a certain age where that's been the programming? What can the parent do differently to help change the relationship and change the child, you know, from where they currently are?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, let's be real, right? It's an addiction, right? It's an addiction. So if you think about a lot of research I've done with addictions, they don't talk about like just excluding the addiction. They don't talk about kicking it out. They talk about replacing it with a different addiction. That's why a lot of drug addicts get into health and fitness, right? They replace that addiction with going to the gym, right? A healthy addiction. Or I mean, really, we can just call it a habit, right? Healthy habits. But right now, a lot of children are in the habits of being stuck on their electronics. So we have to replace that habit with something else. And it's going to take some work. It's going to take, I get it, you know, parents, we're tired, you know, we're exhausted, but it's going to take you guys getting off your butt and going outside, or, I mean, depending on their age, going to the park or going to a water park or going, and picking up a hobby or a sport with your child. Like, you know, my son plays tennis and baseball and we have a blast with it. Right. And, you just have to replace it. You have to replace it with something else, because if it's just like a, give me the tablet, you know, watch TV instead, or make them read a book, like they're going to be miserable and they're going to have some resentment towards you. Right. But I mean, like as a parent, the toughest part is taking ownership that wherever your child is, it's your fault, right?
Mm-hmm, that's powerful.
Because when they were born to you, when they were born to you in this life, that means you took on the responsibility that whatever their mindset is, whatever their habits become, it's all on you, right? Nobody is telling you, like nobody talks about parenting as in like a, oh yeah, but you know, you only have X amount of responsibility. The rest, you know, the schools raise them, the electronics raise them, friends raise them. Like, no, you think about parents. You are their sole guardians for a reason. You're responsible for everything. And so this is the hard part to accept, but with wherever they're at, like if they're hooked on electronics or any sort of bad habit, it's your fault. Not saying that you put it in front of them and gave them this bad habit, but it's whatever you want to call it, neglect or just a little bit too much of like chilling. The most dangerous part of the most dangerous thing a parent can do is relax. That sounds a little intense and that sounds a bit crazy, but it's when we relax, right? That's when, what are they doing while you're relaxing? What are they learning while you're relaxing? Because we talk about kids are sponges, right? We're all sponges. We're all sponges. Kids, though, are super sponges. They're mega ultra dynamite sponges, right? Using my 6-year-old terminology here. But so we all have the subconscious mind, right? That, you know, it picks up on everything around us, whether we're directly paying attention to it or not, right? Like I could be reading a book and there's a gossip conversation going on over there. My subconscious mind is still going to pick up on that, you know, negative conversation. Mm-hmm. So that negativity is still going to feed into my mind. And maybe without even thinking about it, I could go off and gossip with a friend later on, or have a negative conversation, a non-productive conversation. But with children, it's huge. It's way, like, those are the developmental stages of their brain that will lead into huge parts of their character growing up. And so it's super, super critical that now, as parents, you gotta relax. You gotta find that time to relax. Like, of course, for me, like, I guess this is sort of the benefit of sharing custody, but my time to get a break from being a parent is when he's with his mom. Mm. Right? Like, that's my break time. But really, when I say break time, that means I'm just working on the podcast, speeches, etc. But when he's with me, 100% of the time that he's awake, it's committed to him. Now, it's very important also to let them play on their own and have that, you know, isolated time. But yeah, everything falls on us. And so if you're the reason that they got into a bad habit, you have to be the reason that they get out of it.
I do want to say to anyone listening, you know, you do split time with, you know, your son's mom, but to anyone listening who wants to get controversial and say, like, you know, you split time, just for anyone listening, I'm a single mom and 24/7 with my child. His father's currently not in our life, and he hasn't been in some time. So my advice would be, when I want to relax, I actually, first, I'm honest with my son and I say, you know, like, mommy's tired. And then I say, can you lay with me? Let's watch a movie together. So anyone listening, include your children in your relaxation, you know, explain to them, like you said, talk to them like a person, not a child, and say, you know, I had a long day. Maybe you're tired also. Let's just lay down, like, include them in the relaxation. They'll lay with you. Maybe they'll go for a walk with you. Maybe they'll choose the movie. You can nap while they're watching, but you don't have to just, you know, people relax in households separately now. And that's so, you know, it sucks because, like, you know, think about how loving it is when you relax with them. So I just wanted to point that out to anyone who's saying, well, oh, he splits time. I'm a full-time single mom. You don't have to give them the devices when you want to relax. So I'm just going to, you know, piggyback there for a second.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Cause that's the luxury I don't get, right? Which is being around my son all the time. And you know, there's whatever pros and cons to it. But thank you for that. But no, that's a great example, you know, and children are very understanding. So you could tell them you're tired, you know, I need to take a nap, like, you know, let's pick a movie or let them play with their toys. Like, that's fine. Like I said, they need that isolation time too. But, you know, your relaxing should not come at the expense of their development, right? Their proper, healthy development.
We need to say that one more time. Say that again, because, guys, listen, that was powerful. Your relaxing shouldn't come at the expense of their development. Wow, I love that.
There it is.
That one was powerful. But with all the stuff you're doing for, you know, social media, you're also a speaker, you know, you help a lot of people. Has there ever been, you know, one or two people or any story you can think of where someone came to you and was like, you know, you helped change my life? And if so, can you share a little bit about that experience or what you felt the first time someone reacted or responded to you when you actually affected them?
Yeah, it was crazy. But the first speech I gave, I was 18 years old and I gave it at a Boys and Girls Club. And I thought that it went horrible. Like, I told the story of, like, you know, my illness and everything like that. But, you know, I kind of had something planned and prepared, but it kind of just, I just went into it on its own. And I thought it went horrible. But, you know, I'm my own worst critic and I still am in a healthy way. But there was a kiddo that came up to me and said that it changed his life and said that, you know, he never knew that he could do this, regardless of what he's going through or what, you know, he, based off of what he knew growing up. Right. And so I'll never forget that. That was impactful. And then, being reached out to on social media, especially for the first time. You know, like you said, hold on, let me go to my laptop camera here. But yeah, like for the first time being reached out to on social media, you can get discouraged with the numbers, right? You can get very discouraged with the numbers, but you know, you told me this, but you need to have the right intentions, right? If it's all for the numbers and everything, you're not going to succeed. But, you know, but still, even having said that, you can still get discouraged, right? Because you know your talents, you know your vision. And I started the same way, like, you know, for the first maybe half year, you know, I was happy to get like 50 or 40 downloads on an episode. And, but it was the first person that reached out to me saying that it changed their life. And I'm like, okay, it's already worth it. It's already worth it. Because people judge success based off of so many different things, so many different categories. But if you can positively impact someone's life, to me, you know, that's success. That and who you're becoming in the process of chasing your dreams. That's to me, that's success. And so, yeah, that first person to reach out to me from the podcast itself, I was like, okay, that really like helped it sink into my heart of, yes, this was my purpose to impact lives, but you can peek at the numbers and get discouraged. But that really just brought me back. And I was like, okay, it's already worth it. If it doesn't grow from here, it's already worth it. I'm still going to upload every week, a new episode every week. Like I've already won.
You know, and that was my next question. What does success look like or mean to you?
Yes, that's one of my favorite questions. But, and I heard Kobe Bryant say this, okay? This was already a belief of mine, but hearing somebody like Kobe Bryant say it, it just really solidified it for me. But it's not about achieving the actual goal, right? It's not about actually bringing the vision into reality, because we can die any day, right? A lot of us pursue something and we never live to see it. But success is the person that you become in the process, right? Because if you are doing everything necessary to bring your dream into reality, right, which is believing in yourself, believing that it's going to happen for you, being disciplined, which means working hard despite how you feel, and being consistent, right? Every single day, regardless of what's going on with personal life, if you can do those three things every single day, you are going to churn into the best version of yourself. You're going to churn into somebody that is going to help change lives, regardless of what you do. Even just somebody seeing your life, you're going to inspire them, you're going to help them, you're going to touch them in a powerful way, even if you don't say a word. So, to me, that's success. It's the person that you become, because you're developing the right habits and the right mindset. If you're really going after it with everything you have, right? Not saying, oh, you really want it, but you know, you're not putting in the work, or you're only doing it based off of how you feel. You only, you know, work out when you feel like working out. Like, no, I'm talking about doing everything required. Like, if you're doing that, then you're going to be successful. 100%.
I'm going to say something that's super controversial, but I love this. Andrew Tate said this, and he said, you know, imagine God, you know, put you here and you're being lazy. You know, like you're not working out, you're not taking those actionable steps, you're being lazy, you know? And then people wonder, like, why is life not working out? Well, like, what did you do? If your body is your vehicle, and I tell people all the time, imagine when you wake up every morning, your spirit is sitting in its vehicle. You are not this human. I say it all the time, right? When you get into your car, whatever car you have, you're getting into something and you're going for a ride. When you wake up every morning, the reason why before bed and when you wake up in the morning is so important, because your brain waves are still, you know, operating in theta, right? So your soul, your spirit, your subconscious is waking up with its human. And that's super important, because you have to program it. You have to get ready for the day. And then you have to use your body as a tool, as a vehicle. You know, I'll tell you guys very quickly, when I first started working out months ago, and it wasn't a habit yet, what I would tell myself every time I started to get tired was two things. One, this is my instrument, so I'm using it at my best capacity. Two, I heard this on Instagram. A father was telling his daughter, your body's going to want to give out faster than your mind, but your mind's going to have to keep telling you to keep going. So when you work out and you're like, oh, I'm so tired, stop yourself and say, this is my instrument, right? Like, just keep going, like keep moving and keep reminding yourself, your mind and your spirit and your body will just, they have to align. Somewhere there's a big disconnection. So that's super, super important. But knowing everything that you know now, you know, everything you know, everything you've overcame, what would this version of Miguel tell that maybe 13-year-old version of Miguel? What would you say to him if you could have that conversation?
I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't say anything because why would I rob my past self of things that I was going to learn based off of experience?
Wow.
Right. I love my parents. I love my parents. They did the best that they could. Right. You know, they divorced when I was six, and you know, they both had their own battles and everything like that. But for the most part, I was alone. Right. And I am, and you know, my mom called me years ago crying and apologizing. And I'm like, Mom, everything happened the way it needed to happen. Everything. If I would have had the white picket fence, the perfect family, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I wouldn't have that what I call dog mindset of I'm going to go get it regardless. And so the biggest father figure for me, the biggest mentor for me, was my life experiences. You know, and having that lack of guidance, having to do things the hard way, the rough way, the homelessness, all that stuff, it developed me into the person that I am today, so I can help people moving forward, right? Because yeah, I wouldn't say a word to the past version of myself, you know, because everything happened the way it needed to. And sure, you know, have I made mistakes? 100%, right? But I've learned from those mistakes, right? And a lot of people are so like they play hindsight way too much and look back and regret. But it's just like, you know, instead of regretting, like we need to learn from these things, right? And so now I pride myself in being somebody who never makes the same mistake twice, because I don't go after something timid of failing. Obviously my goal is to succeed, but if I do fail, I'm like, great. I just found a way that I can get better at something. Right. And so, yeah, the past version of myself, I'll probably just watch him from a distance and maybe get a few laughs, everything happened the way it needed to. You know, I wouldn't rob the 14-year-old Miguel. It's just, I would just be like, wow. Like I would reminisce and be like, man, that needed to happen. All that needed to happen, that feeling alone, that being humiliated, you know, those people turning their backs on me, like all that needed to happen. And I needed to feel all those emotions as well. Right. That's the part that's the part that maybe I would go back and be like, hey, it's okay. Like everything's going to be fine. Like, no, I needed to feel those dark, low moments of, I don't know if everything's going to be all right. I don't know, but the next day came. And so that let me know that regardless of how low you feel, there's still going to be the next day. Now, you know, we can die any moment, but in the sense of like, you can get through this. Why? Because you have gotten through this before. We've gotten through way lower times. And so this may irritate people, but I always say life is easy now, right? Life is easy. Like I've been through some stuff. And so now life can get complicated and it can get, there's still challenges and there always will be hardships and challenges, but it's easy in the sense of I've been here before. Like, you know what I mean? Just as far as challenges and hardships and adversity, betrayal, whatever you want to call it, all of it, I've been there before. Maybe I'll face a more intense version of it, but I've become a more intense person because of my past experiences, right? But you always got to allow those experiences to mold you and shape you. And so, yeah, I wouldn't rob the younger version of myself of all those lessons.
I love that. Pressure makes diamonds. So, you know, here on The Business Alchemist, we talk about serving with spirit. I'm a big manifester. So I'd love to hear, what is the next 2 years look like? What are you calling into your life?
Yeah, in the next 2 years, I will be the world's most sought after speaker. You won't be able to go anywhere on social media without seeing me. And this is where the petty version of me comes out. You know, all the people who don't like me or want to see me fail or don't support me. Like, I feel very bad for these people, because you will see this face, you will hear this voice everywhere you go. And it's never too late to hop on and be a supporter. I support everybody. I don't hate anybody. So we're talking the next 2 years, I have published at least one book. Mm. In the next 5 years, my goal is to publish 3. And everything just growth. This will be a top 5 podcast in the self-help category. And 2 years, my son will be 8. My son will win his first tennis tournament.
Oh, I love that. We play tennis also. Well, nice. Even though it's going to be in the show notes, where can they find you on social media?
Yes, you can find me. Look up the username at @leaveyour_mark. Mark, of course, is spelled MARC for my son, Marcus. And that's the username for Instagram, TikTok. We have Threads now, the new app. So find me on Threads with that same username. And then you can look up the podcast. Just look up the Leave Your Mark podcast, anywhere and everywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcast, all that good stuff. And we'll definitely help get you right.
Well, thank you so much for doing this with me today. It was an honor to have you.
Jackie, it was an honor being here. Thank you for having me.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.